Hey, let's get our Bibles out this morning and let's turn to the Word of God. You know, as we go into the Word, you can't help but say sometimes how interesting it is, how it's the intersection of God's Word and the reality of living in today's world. We're experiencing things that are happening that are, of course, part of God's overall plan. It's hard to say. Nobody has kind of a line as far as, okay, next week this is going to happen, this is going to happen. But it's interesting. We have a state of Israel, as we've had for the last 70 years. Prophecies are being fulfilled in different ways. But what's interesting is how God, as I like to say, plays the long game. And we have to just wait on the Lord, always, always wait on the Lord. But it's interesting how God is unfolding different events. Of course, we want to continue to pray for Israel, pray for the Jewish people throughout the world, because as you know, anti-Semitism is at a fever pitch, more than it has been in many, many years, even in our country, as I know all of you know this. But we really just need to pray for God's divine protection, pray for guidance, and pray that he would just continue to be glorified in and amongst our congregation and throughout the world. But as I was thinking about everything going on in Israel, everything going on in the world, it's really, really, really heavy, you know? There's just so much, and it's easy to get down. But last week's message was about drawing near to God. We've got to draw near to him at these times, because this is the time where we can feel very isolated and far from God, or far from each other, or far from the truth, when it seems like the evil is so prevalent. But we have to draw near to God. What a timely message that was. But considering the times we live in and seeing darkness everywhere, spiritually speaking, and I love how my message is tying into the drash that John gave. You know, I was going to mention it. We see literally evil being called good, good being called evil. It's hard to know what is good out there with news and different things. We see this war raging in the Middle East right now with Israel. It's just enough to stress you out, make you neurotic, and get you crazy, right? It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get depressed. It's easy to feel completely and 100% overwhelmed. And many times throughout the last few weeks, I have felt that way. But I believe the Word of God continues to speak to us throughout all of history, including today. The passage we're going to look at in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. Now, it's the last section of the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and the author, whoever the author of Hebrews was, it's kind of been lost for history. We're not sure. Was it Paul? Was it someone else? But the author continues with this theme, who is Yeshua? Okay, that's the question we need to be asking ourselves today in our lives. When we're out there interacting in the world, who is Yeshua to us? Is he our Lord and Savior? Is he the one that is our redemption? Is he the shelter from all of the craziness out there? Is he the light in the darkness? I pray that he is in your life, and I know he is in mine. But who is Yeshua? We're continuing to demonstrate, though, throughout this book as we go through it. Yeshua is salvation, clear and simple. He is literally the saving of us. I need saving of myself. If left to my own devices, I'm going to get depressed. I'm going to get overwhelmed. I'm not going to be able to really function as I should in this world. And that's where Yeshua comes in. He is, of course, the sacrifice for our sins. He died in our place for our sins so that we can be redeemed, so that we can have fellowship with God, so that we can have shalom in a world where there is nothing but violence. And the word in, of course, Hebrew is Hamas. How interesting is that? But we need shalom. We need the peace of God. And we get that by digging into his word, by learning about who he is, and by standing on that. And we're going to do that today. Specifically in today's passage, I pray that you are encouraged, as I was, as the Lord gave this to me, and as I'm going through it now, that you be encouraged to stay strong in the Lord and to not turn back. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean oh, turn back and stop believing in Yeshua. What it means is don't turn back and start thinking the old ways. Don't turn back and start getting depressed and overwhelmed. Don't turn back and start looking at the darkness and having it completely cast a shadow over the light. We need to not turn back, but to press in with God at this time. We have to, of course, have a healthy attitude about who the Lord is, right? The fear of the Lord, as it said. We're going to talk about that. We need to look around in this world what's going on, but not give up, because as we fix our eyes on him, as we keep living for him, he is going to continue to redeem us. He is going to continue to guide us, and he is going to continue to give us his perfect shalom. So let's begin. I'm going to begin with the end of last week's message, the last verse. We're going to begin there, actually, and continue on. So go to Hebrews chapter 10. We start with verse 26 this morning. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Verse 28, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses, the Torah, dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and who has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Ooh. Now, these verses are a little scary, right? These verses are very direct. We have to remember, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago in a time period when the whole mantra wasn't, you know, everybody be kind to one another. This was a different society. We live in a Western society, and 2,000 years later, this was an Eastern mindset society. They spoke very plainly. They spoke very directly. But we can understand and receive these words even today. Now, this was a long section. There's a lot going on. Verse 26 sets it up. We're specifically told not to willfully go on sinning, those of us who have accepted Yeshua, because we've accepted his once-for-all sacrifice. And this comes down to having the right heart now. We can't be schizophrenic. You know, we can't accept Yeshua and we accept, okay, he died for my sins, and then just go on continuing to sin willfully, continuing to not walk the narrow path. We have to get on board with God. If we're saying God is our Lord, if we're saying Yeshua is our Savior, then, and if we're saying he's our King, then we have to obey what our King is saying. You can't be part of a kingdom and not obey the King. Things don't go well when that happens. You have to get in line with the King. So we have to understand, first of all, that our mindset has to be one of following after our King. You know who we want to follow after today? We want to follow after ourselves. I like this. I like that. I think I'll go here. You know, we're so fickle. There's so many choices, right? You can go get a hamburger at like 10 different places, right? Maybe more. But it doesn't matter. There's so many choices in life, but there's really only one choice, and that is getting in line with God and getting behind Yeshua, accepting his once and for all sacrifice and getting in line with the things of God. Now, we have this warning here at the end of this passage. The warning is if we don't continue in that saving faith of Yeshua, truly believing in Yeshua as the once and for all sacrifice, we have this whole vengeance is mine terminology, and John referenced it, and I'm going to reference it too. It doesn't just start here. The book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews didn't just make this up. He's quoting somewhere else in the Bible. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. He's quoting Torah. You know, many people have said the New Testament or the Brit Chadashah is a commentary on the Old Testament or the Tanakh. And in many ways it is. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua didn't really say anything new. He just said, this is what God says. And I'm saying, if you want the fullness of that, this is what you need to do. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That's my, you know, very short drash on the Sermon on the Mount. Deuteronomy 32, 35. Vengeance is mine and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand and their doom comes swiftly. Do you know Scripture can be a dangerous thing if we don't understand context? Context is everything in Scripture. We can use Scriptures, pull Scriptures out, and many people have over history, and use it and do terrible, terrible things. We can go down different paths if we're not careful. But when we understand context, it all comes into focus, and we're able to see what God is saying. So what is this all about? Vengeance is mine. Why is the author trying to turn our minds, or the people's minds 2,000 years ago that were reading it, which, by the way, were Jewish believers, so they would have understood Torah, they would have understood the reference back to Torah. Why is this on their minds? This is a passage from the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And God is speaking through Moses, and what is he saying? So let's go back a little bit more. Chapter 32 of Deuteronomy is the Song of Moses. It's talking about Israel. It's towards the end of Deuteronomy, of course. It's towards the end of the Moses era. And they're kind of getting a tongue lashing, Israel is. If we go back a little bit to set it up, Deuteronomy 31, verse 29. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel. Listen to the context here. For I know that after my death, this is Moses, you will surely act corruptly and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. And in the days to come, evil will befall you because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger through the work of your hands. Boy, does that not sound like what's going on today? Does that not sound like, honestly, what has been the history of the world, but certainly the history of our people in many ways? Not getting on board with God, not falling in line after our king, but kind of going our own way. This is what happens. This is the vengeance is mine. This is where this comes into play. God has always wanted his people Israel, and for that matter, all of creation, the human race, all people, to choose him. That's just the bottom line. And to have a right heart before him. When we have a wrong heart before God, we're prone to go astray, to turn this way and that, and the words of the Song of Moses kind of play out for us in our lives. David Stern, in his commentary on the book of Hebrews, says this: some, and this is the context here in Hebrews, some were disregarding the Messiah's once and for all sacrifice for sin and trusting in the Levitical system, which only foreshadowed it. And we talked all about this in the last several weeks. The Levitical system is not bad, but it doesn't produce salvation. It doesn't give the end result. The end result is, of course, Yeshua and salvation. But the Levitical system is the framework that we have for understanding final atonement in Yeshua, for our salvation. The author of Hebrews back then didn't want these new Jewish believers to abandon Yeshua, to turn back to the world, to turn back to the things that they thought. But he wanted to remind them that Yeshua is the one true redemption. And to turn away from Yeshua, to abandon Yeshua, means we're going to be away from God. There's vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. The Lord, we're turning away from the source of life. And whenever you turn away from light, you have darkness. The light source, if you turn away from God, there is, unfortunately, death. Yeshua is the source of salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, this is Rav Shaul speaking to the congregation in Philippi. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This verse is not meant to scare us. These verses in Hebrews are not meant to scare us, you know, vengeance from God. But what should it do? Well, it should give us a proper understanding of God. If we don't fall in line with God, if we don't get behind God, if we don't accept Yeshua, and if we don't follow after God, what awaits us is not this or that or our own, you know, paradise or whatever. That's all a lie. What awaits us is death. Unfortunately, that's all that awaits us if we turn away from the life source, he who gives life. But God is trying to tell us, not scare us. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. We have to understand that we can't be God. God is up here, we're down here, and we have to understand our proper hierarchy with God. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That doesn't mean, if I turn away from God, he's going to smite me. That means a reverence for our King. That means understanding who he is, understanding that he's the boss and not us. We have to constantly think about that. The fear of the Lord, the reverence, the great reverence for God. Many people have a fear of God, and it's this, they're just afraid. They're terrified of God. They're terrified of sinning. They're terrified of doing something bad. That's not what the verse is saying. That's not what the Lord wants us to understand. He wants us to revere God, to have a healthy trust in God. Question number one for us in the message today, do you have a healthy fear of God? There are so many believers out there, I believe, with an unhealthy fear of God. As soon as they get off the path, God is going to do something bad or smite them. You know, oh, if I turn away, God's going to hurt me or do all this. An unhealthy fear is to worry like that. A healthy fear is to know whom before we stand, to know who is God. He doesn't want us to be afraid, but he wants us to understand him and to revere him. And this is what Hebrews is telling us. So let's continue with our text. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, about Yeshua, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. That's a hard word, but that is the truth here. This is truly how we need to live our life. There will be struggles in our life. There will be suffering. Everyone's struggles are different. You may struggle with health issues, and you may have always struggled with health issues. Paul had a thorn in his side. We don't know what it was, but he had something that he continued to struggle with. You may struggle with financial problems. You may struggle with family issues. You just may struggle with depression or feeling isolated from God. We all struggle with different things. Physical, spiritual, whatever it is. And they're all difficult, but it's how we handle them. People maybe say, God, please save me from my struggles. You know, we pray for healing, and that is good. We need to pray for healing. God is still in the miracle business. But many times we pray for God not to have anything bad happen to us, and that's not realistic. Because then when something bad happens, we say, well, where were you, God? You're not with me, and then we turn away from God. That's not a proper biblical understanding. I recently heard somebody say or post or something like this. God doesn't save you from problems. He saves you in the midst of problems. Let me say that again. God doesn't save you from problems. He saves you in the midst of problems. And I believe that God does that. One of the reasons he does that is because he's trying to get all of us to see all the time that it's all about him and not us. He wants us to get to the end of ourselves so that we don't rely on our own self, but we rely on God. So he sometimes allows us to get into situations, fall into lion's dens, whatever you may call it, where we're forced to turn up and look at God and say, I can't do it. You've got to help me. So God doesn't save us from problems. He saves us in the midst of them. So in the example of Daniel, God didn't save him from the lion's den. But when he was in the lion's den, he saved him. See the difference? Many of us are in a lion's den today of our own. I don't know what lion's den you're in. I don't know what lions are about to want to eat you up, you know, or hurt you in some way. But God is with you in the lion's den. God is with Israel today. God is with you and I today. We just have to understand. You know, it's like the fiery furnace that I always talk about. God was with them in the midst of the furnace. He didn't, you know, not have them go in. They went in, but God was able to show his glory through that because God is wanting to, through these things, refine us, purify us, teach us, grow us so that we can grow closer to him. Isaiah 48, verse 10. There's a lot of scriptures about this. They're not always fun to quote, but they're there. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. When I want to post Bible verses, this isn't the one I want to post. I want to post God is love and God loves me and everything. What is Romans 8:28? Everything is for my good. Not I have tried you in the furnace of affliction, but this is also biblical. And honestly, if we're honest about it, we've all been in those times in our lives where we feel the flames are getting hotter, the lions are getting hungrier. It seems bleak for us, but that is when we need to turn to God and recognize that He is refining us and He will preserve us. He wants to refine us, to burn away the dross, to burn away the things that are not of Him. I still have things that are not of God in me, and I've got to get them out. Every day I struggle to do that. And if you're honest with yourself, every day you struggle to do that. Let's turn to Job chapter 23, verse 10. We all feel like Job. We all think we're going through Job things in our life, and many of us have Job-like matters. You know, Job-like problems, we think. But we ask the wrong question when we get into these Job situations. We always ask God, why? Or, where are you, God? You know, usually it's, why? Why'd you let this happen to me? I thought you loved me. Instead, we should be asking God, what do you want me to learn through this? God, how am I supposed to grow in this season of affliction? How do I need to be refined? What am I thinking wrong? Do you need to burn off this pride over here? Do you need to burn off this envy over here? Do you need to burn off the way that I speak or approach people? Do you need to burn off the way that I approach you, God? Question number two, are we allowing God to refine us through trials? Am I allowing God to refine us through the trials? It always seems like we're going through trials because there's a lot of refining to do. Now let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to verse 35 now. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now listen, God, sometimes the stuff can be really heavy. A fiery furnace is affliction. God's refining me. Ugh, you know, it's so hard. But God always is doing it for our good. There is always something good on the horizon. And I believe that is what God is saying to us here. You know, all of this stuff is difficult. It's hard to live for God. It's hard to go against the grain of the world, especially when you turn on the news, when you turn on social media, when you look at all of these things and you see the wicked prospering. Doesn't that get you? It gets me. I say, like David said in the Psalms, Lord, why is the wicked prospering? Why, God? Why is evil being promoted so much on the lips of so many? And why does it seem like evil is winning? You ever say that? Why does it seem like evil's? I thought you're supposed to be winning, God. I thought the end of the book is a good thing. Well, yes, it is. It is. But the problem is we live in a society of immediate gratification. So you and I have a very short attention span, and we also want what we want right now. And we never can wait. I want it. I want it right now, God. You know? We have to be patient. We're told to have patience. And that we won't get our reward now. That's so hard, isn't it? In this life, sometimes you may never see the reward, but the reward is there. It's right there. That promise will always be fulfilled. He'll never leave us or forsake us, and there is a reward out there, but we're not getting it right now. We're not getting the reward. The rest of the world is getting their reward right now, and it doesn't feel good because we want our reward. But it's coming. Our reward is coming. This is the encouragement. James chapter 1, verse 12, book of Yaakov. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Do you believe God has a crown of life for you? I believe it. But every day when I go out there, it's hard because I see everybody wearing those really nice, shiny crowns. And I don't have my crown yet, okay? I know that sounds a little pouty, but I think we all say that sometimes. But there is a better crown. You know, those crowns out there, they're like the Burger King crowns. You know? Do you know when you go through Burger King now, they ask you, do you want a crown? And I look in the back, there's no toddlers in the back of my... Why do you think I want a crown? But I do want a crown. I want the real crown, the one with the real jewels in it. Amen. Right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. We need to be vigilant. We need to continue with God, not getting distracted by all those paper crowns out there. What are they? Cardboard crowns. We need to be focusing on God because there's a... Focusing our gaze on him because there's a better crown. Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look directly forward and let your gaze be straight before you. Okay? The world is trying to refocus your eyes everywhere else but forward towards God. It's true. Okay? We're going to just call it as it is. This is true. Now, there's a lot of things in the world that are nice. You know, I like, you know, watching sports games, and I like doing this and doing that. That's all fine. But what we're talking about is not that. What we're talking about, where is our gaze? Where is the source? Where are we focusing our lives? Are we focusing on all these things, or are we focusing it forward and letting our gaze be fixed on God? We need to know that there is a goal. Nothing that you and I do for God is in vain. It may seem like that sometimes, but there is a reward, and we need to keep pressing on towards that goal. Last scripture today, Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Last question for us today. Are you pressing on in faith towards your reward? We've got to encourage each other in this constantly. That's why it's important to be here, right now, talking together. That's why it's important to be encouraging. If you can't be here, if you're not feeling well, if you're far away, I know you're watching on the live stream, we're all together here. But are we pressing in faith together towards the reward? No man is an island, no person is an island. Let's do this together. Let's hold each other up sometimes because around us, people are falling down. Believers are getting discouraged. We're getting discouraged. We may be falling down. Let's pick each other up together. Press on in faith towards our reward. And what is the reward? That crown is eternity with God. That crown is complete and total shalom, where there is no darkness, there is no mourning, there is no suffering, there is no illness. There is just God and that crown of life to be with God forever. So it is really easy in today's times to be discouraged. We need to have that healthy fear and awe of God. We need to know that he disciplines, yes, but he disciplines because he loves us. He disciplines because he wants us to burn away some of that not God stuff in us and on us. And he wants to refine us so that we can prepare ourselves to get that reward. And, you know, the times are really dark. They really are. and we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But we do have one hope, and that is in our eternal reward with God through Yeshua. So as I pray and I close the message and we really kind of close the service, I want you to just take a deep breath, and I want you to know that God is with you in any, whatever trial you're going through. If you need prayer, you can come and get prayer from me or one of the elders after service today. We're here for you, but we want to know and we want you to be encouraged. We want you to know that God is with you in whatever you're going through. God is with Israel, and we know he is supernaturally protecting them. God is with the Jewish people throughout the world, and God is supernaturally protecting them, and God is with us today, and he is supernaturally protecting us. God of Israel, we come before you, Lord God, and boy, we have heavy hearts, Lord. We have heavy hearts because it just doesn't seem to let up. But God, we just need to breathe and get refilled with you. Many of us are on empty today. God, fill us back up. Fill us to overflowing. Give us joy, even in the midst of where there is no joy. Then people will say, why do you have so much joy? Have you seen the world lately? And we could say, well, we're not fixing our eyes on the world. We're fixing our eyes on God. And we're waiting on Him, and we're trusting in Him, and we're believing in Him, and we're taking our cues, getting our peace from Him. So, Lord, I really pray that you would fill each and every person here to overflowing with joy, with encouragement, with strength, with guidance, Lord God. And have them just, Lord, as they live their lives this week, I pray for divine opportunities to just share with other people why they have the faith that they do, why they have the joy that they do. Lord, we thank you because even in the midst of such darkness, you are light, and you can fill us with your light. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just fill us to overflowing, even right now, with joy, with peace, with your love, with your encouragement. We need it, God, in our lives more than ever now. We pray, Lord God, that you would continue to heal those that need healing, that you would encourage those that needed encouragement today, that you would strengthen those who are weak, and Lord, that you would work through miracles, even supernaturally, even through the smallest of things in our lives, so that we know it's you, and that so others can see it and others can turn towards you and give you glory. We thank you, God. We rejoice because you're on the throne. We rejoice because we have a crown that is never going to perish. And Lord, we wait for that. We thank you, and we give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.